Margot?
Jasmine.
Hello, Jasmine.
Hello, everyone. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
So we are, continuing our advanced reincarnation classes. I believe we're on class number 14 in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. And it starts with chapter 11, section 6. And Hannah, is that, I'm confirming that with you, is that correct?
I don't think so. I think we're on, we were going to finish number 5 of general in particular, and we were on.
I wish I would remember that, but you are correct. We have a few more.
Verse 62.
So.
Of there.
Yeah, it'll take me a little bit. It's going to take me a little bit to open it up.
Okay. But we have finished 6. So when we finish this, we go to section 7. The only reason I know is I have the handouts in the order. And wherever we are is the top one. So.
I know. It was in
Zohar.com.
Yeah, but it's section on Vayera.
Yes. Spelled V-A-E-R-A.
Right. And which
Pasuk 62. Okay, let's see, I guess.
General and particular, section 5.
5, yes.
And we're on which?
62.
Verse 62?
Yes, we're up to the 248 positive mitzvot.
Okay. All right. So for those of you who weren't following our conversation because it was rather cryptic. On the Zohar.com, there's a link at the top that says teachings. When you click on that, it will load. The first line item is complete Zohar. When you open that up, it gives you two drop-down boxes. The first one shows the parasha, and it you need to go to within the book of Shemot. It's the section Vayera, V-A-E-R-A, and when that opens up, you go to section 5. If you are not already a member, having signed up for the Zohar.com, it does require you to register with your email, but there is no charge. And it is a complete Zohar. And so when section 5 opens up, scroll down to verse 62, and that's where we are starting. And I will say a L'shem Yehud to start. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabri Fu Ishkite Bid Hiluur Himud Hiluud Hiluur Himu. Leakta L'shem Yud He Bavate Bi Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananehu. Ufaki na me leta ta ka barnash ya shlim gufeya peinun pikudin deoraita leya lach kol yoma dila ad yayo lit barka mineya Vekaed inun it kan, it sparkan, mineya kedein chayim, biasvalta talyan, aleya milay eila, mangarim leya, inun yomei shata, Yome shata kimha de it bar kam. Mileila me raza de adam akilina me. It bar kam mitata me raza de adam. And so it is below. When a person perfects himself with these 248 positive precepts in the Torah, there is no day that will not be blessed by him, by that man, and when they are blessed from him, life and healing are suspended over him from above. This means that they are not drawn to Malchut before man completes all the 248 positive precepts in their entirety, and they are suspended over him from above until then. What caused the supernal channels to be filled with healing and life? The days of the year, as mentioned before. Therefore, it is considered as though the days of the year gave them healing and life as mentioned. Just as the days of the year are blessed from above, from the secret of man, which is their unpin, they are also blessed below from the secret of the lower man through the precepts that he fulfills. Questions, comments, or thoughts?
Well, I thought the way that it was worded at the very beginning, when it said there is no day that will not be blessed by him, I'm taking him to be the person that's performing the mitzvot.
That is correct.
Okay. But at the same time,
it's also the supernal. It's also Zeron Pim, who is called man.
Well, that was a little further down. I wasn't there yet. But it sounds like it also brings healing, life and healing on the person. But saying that it's suspended above, like as if until all of the 248 precepts or mitzvot are performed, it's like not a complete action, I guess, is the way. I'm not quite sure how to word it.
Let me give you perspective on it, so maybe it'll make clear it up.
Okay.
What is the purpose of a mitzvah?
To draw close to Hashem.
And what does it mean to draw close to Hashem?
To become like him.
Do you remember we've had discussions from time to time as we go into the Zohar in depth, where frequently, it's not often, but it is frequent, where instead of saying mitzvot, the word in the Torah is mitzvah. And this is especially true when it talks in terms of Leviticus in Kedoshim, where it describes the idea of the Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. Essentially, what the Torah is telling us is there is only one mitzvah that matters, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So what is the purpose of all of the other 612 mitzvot? It's to elevate man or to cleanse man, which is the same thing. It cleanses man so that he can elevate to a place, a consciousness, where he is actually capable of loving another like himself. But at that point, he needs the help of Hashem. Now, with that background of understanding, every time a person does a mitzvah of the 612, that light that is revealed is stored in Bina for him to complete all 248 mitzvot, positive mitzvot. And assuming he does not violate any of the 365, all of that energy is there day by day. So the mitzvah is to lay tefillin, as an example. You're supposed to lay tefillin every day. But if he misses a day, he doesn't lose anything. He just doesn't get additional energy being stored in Bina. But when he has completed all 248 positive mitzvot, he is able... Hold on a second.
Okay.
He is able to receive the light from those 248 mitzvot that he has completed. He's able to receive that light in this physical world because he has arrived at the level of being a tzaddik. And when you're at the level of being a tzaddik, you are at the consciousness of Zeranpin. And the only thing that keeps you from Bina level of consciousness is that last mitzvah of loving your neighbor as yourself. But all the while that you are at that level of a tzaddik, you are receiving the energy that you've already stored up in Bina. It's hanging over you. It's flowing down to you at the level of Zeranpin. That is what this verse is describing.
Okay.
So every day of the year, there's a connection to the 365 negative mitzvot. That's what's discussing the bottom half of this Zohar, of this verse. The top half is discussing the 248. But really, it's this idea that whatever you do, you're storing energy for the world that is coming. But the world that is coming can happen on an individual level before the Mashiach, because that person has reached the point, the level of consciousness where their personal Mashiach is there. That's what is being hinted at and described in this pasuk. So I hope that's been helpful.
It has. Do you know when you've reached that level? Does a person know?
The answer to that is some do and some don't.
Because there are 36.
Remember, there's always 36 revealed tzaddikim and 36 concealed tzaddikim. A concealed tzaddik does not know they're tzaddik. They just go about doing righteous things. And they think it's normal. And they don't consider themselves tzaddikim. The revealed tzaddikim are aware. But it's the same. It's always the same idea. If you think you're a tzaddik, you're not. Because right there, you're establishing an ego, and the ego separates you from Hashem. And that's when you read the stories of the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid de Mezrich and all of these Hasidic masters, and you read those stories, they're always... People would call them a tzaddik, but they would never refer to themselves that way, because they don't think like that. They don't allow that ego to separate themselves from Hashem.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
Do we know that 36 tzaddiks, the ones are known? Do we know the names or who they are?
Well, if you listen to anybody in an Orthodox synagogue, they will tell you that their rabbi is one of them. Or in the case of the Chabad organization, they will tell you that it's the Rebbe is one of them. And I also teach, in my opinion, that we have no longer have the merit to have any revealed tzaddikim. We now have 72 concealed tzaddikim. And I want to stress very clearly, 72 is not the number of people. Because we do not know in our generation what is the relationship between the 600,000 men that were in the desert and their wives, so the 1,200,000 people that were in the desert, and how many billion of people are in the world today. We don't know the relationship between how many individual people make up one of those souls from the desert. Because as we have fallen spiritually, what that means is our desire to receive has gotten smaller. And we've split into six people, six souls, more than once. So we don't really know. When I say 72, we're not talking about 72 men and 72 women. We're talking about 72 souls that walked in the desert. And how many physical people today make that up is unknown. So I hope that confuses you and also helps you.
It does.
Thank you.
That was not an aspect that I thought of, you know, with the sparks dividing, which would, I just didn't think of that before, so thank you.
It's all these different things that we have learned from one class or another. You know, we don't put them all together because we go down and focus on something, but then you have to go back and look at the big picture, and then you can go back down and focus. You have to move back and forth. This is the discussion of general and particular.
Mm-hmm.
The particulars are the details. The general is the overall bigger picture. And you have to keep all of these seven thousand different details in your head at all at one time as you look at the big picture. So it's been beneficial to have that discussion and have those questions. Thank you both, Hannah and Jasmine. Does anybody have any more questions on this particular pasuk at this time? Pasuk 63.
Zakayinun Yisrael Bahai Alma Peilein Pikudin Deoraita Dikrun Adam Diktiv Adam Atem Atem Keruyim Adam Vakom Laikrun Adam ugim di Israel, Ikre Adam, Id lonely ishtadla, Peinun pikudim, Teoraita le mecheve, Kola had razade Adam.
Fortunate are Israel in this world with those precepts that they observe. For they are called men because of this, as it is written, are men, a phrase from Ezekiel. This means you are called men, and idol worshippers are not called men. Since Israel are called men, they should strive in the precepts of the Torah, which are the 613 corresponding to the 248 limbs, and the 365 sinews that are in the human body. So they would all form one body in accordance with the secret meaning of man. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's trying to tell us something about the meaning of man being a secret. I guess because it's not only to human mankind, but their unkin as well.
Right. The meaning of man was expressed in the previous verse. Someone is not a man till they reach the level of their unkin. Now, remember in our reincarnation classes, we learned that Ruach is the soul connected to Zeron Kim. So does everybody have a Ruach in the world? What did we learn in reincarnation? When you're born, you receive a nefesh. When you reach 13, you have the opportunity, if you have achieved a certain level of completion of your tikkun, the ruach will come to that soul. Doesn't mean that it will for sure, because it depends on what work has already been done. But whenever that person receives the cleansing of their, or the completion of their tikkun as the, at the level of nefesh, they receive the ruach. And they proceed to start to complete the tikkun of the ruach. So when the ruach comes, are they called a man? The answer is yes, but there are different levels of man within Zeran Pin. But that is the meaning of the phrase, the secret meaning of man. But what is hinted at in this verse that people, especially the Orthodox community, doesn't teach, doesn't recognize? The answer is, what's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? And who is the child of Israel? It's being hinted at in this verse. Fortunate is Israel in this world because they have the precepts to observe. And when they reach the level of the Ruach coming down to them, they become men. But the idol worshiper, who is the idol worshiper? Is it the non-Jew? No. It's a person from any nation. Anybody following a spiritual path is no longer an idol worshiper. Come in. How are you doing? Hold on a second. I'm on a conference call. You want me to come in about a half hour or so?
Okay.
I'll knock on your door. I'm back.
Okay.
So, was what I just said clear?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are there any other questions on this pasuk?
Haven't we learned somewhere that women have more than 248? Something
yes,
like 248.
We have learned that women have four additional parts of the body.
Okay.
That a man does. And we have not jokingly, but when we think about it, we don't, it's never, according to what my teacher said, that it's never been written about by any of the sages, any of the people, anywhere in the Talmud. It never specifies what those four are. But one thing it would be a womb, because a man doesn't have a womb. So that's one of the four parts.
Wish I could remember where I read that. I could look it up.
Well,
it's
taught when we talk in terms of the word candle, the word there. It's taught around this time of year, going into Hanukkah, because the gematria, the word there, is 250, and each person, a woman or a man, is a candle to God. So where it comes from is a soul, which is both male and female, has this idea of the connection to 500. But if you add 248 for a man and 248 for a woman, there's four parts missing. That's where it comes from.
Okay.
So the only part I'm sure of is the womb, is a part of the body that a woman has that a man doesn't. And I would imagine there's some aspect of the womb and the reproductive cycle within a woman that, since I'm not really familiar with that aspect, I can't guess, but, you know, if you think about the parts of the body of a woman, the major parts, the fallopian tubes,
right,
are related to the testicles, so they're not, there's no more additional parts there. But it probably has to do with how a woman transforms. The Talmud says that the woman transforms her blood into milk. And I don't know if some modern science understands that or agrees with that or has a different understanding. But it probably has to do with that process as well.
Mm-hmm.
How a woman is able to create milk for the baby. Because obviously, you know, there's a difference between male breasts and female breasts in their ability to do it, although they both have the same breasts. The potential is there in a man, in the male. But of course, he doesn't have the hormones that kick it off at puberty. Those are my best guesses on the subject, which I have thought about, not extensively, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So should we go on to verse 64?
We just have, I think that's the last one. So you might want to.
Yeah. It's the last one in this one, but you said there's another... There's another handout, isn't there?
Right.
Is it
49, and it's a much shorter.
When you say 49, section 49?
It's from the Idra Rabbah, but it's still Zohar.com, and it's number 49, general and particular and general is what it's called. And the verses are 332 and 333.
Not in Vayera. It's in the Idra Rabbah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Idra Rabbah.
Okay. We'll have to find out when we finish this.
Okay.
Or maybe we'll do it next week. We'll see.
Well, I'm glad we did do this.
I'm sorry,
excuse me. I said I'm glad we did do this, after all.
I am, too. It's been helpful. God Yachav Kudcha Barichu Oraita L'Yisrael Al Tura D'Sinai Mila Dakat Ma'ihu Anochi, Anochi, Salka Lirazim, Sagin Vehaka, Ihu Razad Pikuda, Kadma Alamim Da, Leak Biklala, Begin Dictiv Anochi, Haka Ramiz, Deit Elaha, Shalita ila'a al-alma kada'a ki Hashem Elohecha
Eshokla Hu Pikuda Kadma Piklao Pi Prat Begin Dikti Hashem Elohecha La Parat Vida Kalal Ufrat Pikuda Kadma Teit Terich Laminda Veresha Sofa Kimadi Okimna Alken Reaya Behem Reaya Behemna. When the Holy One, blessed be He, gave the Torah to Israel on Mount Sinai, the first word was I. The Hebrew was Anochi. I contains many secrets, and here is the secret of the first precept of knowing Him in general. For it is written I, which alludes to the existence of an Elohim, a supernal ruler over the world, which is the secret of Zeranpin, which is general. As written, for Hashem, your Elohim, is a consuming fire, which is the secret of Zeranpin, and is the first precept of the aspect of general. So there is here an allusion to the particular, for it is written, Hashem, your Elohim, which is a particular. And this general and particular is the first precept of the need to know in the beginning and in the end, as we explained. And this is the end of the section called, known as the Reaya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd. So before I ask if there are any questions on this, I just want to clarify and make sure we all understand. Whenever you see the term Reaya Mehemna in the Zohar, it is saying that the soul of Moses came to Rabbi Shimon to teach him this particular information, or this general information. And that is the meaning of it, and it always specifies when it starts and when it ends. So it helps you understand what level it's coming from, because Moses, the soul of Moses, represents the non-sephirah called God.
I have a question.
Any questions or comments? Go ahead, Jeff.
I do. Go ahead. Relating to having a tzaddik as high as Moshe Rabbeinu, when we are together studying Torah, studying the Zohar, can we get a angel or a tzaddik to come and join us and give us a class or open up our minds or something like that?
Well, you always have a tzaddik. You always have a higher self that is you as a tzaddik, or a tzaddeket in your case, a female, as you are always connected to that. You just are not aware of it on a conscious level. So I'm not sure what you're referring to or what you're hinting to.
Well, what I'm referring to is that usually these tzaddiks that receive the knowledge, for example, of the Zohar, they were like in a room discussing and reading, and then they received the tzaddik or the angel that comes and join them and, you know, give them secrets. That's what I'm talking about.
Where do you think the answers to your questions come from? You think I know what I'm saying? You think I know what my answers are? They're
they're coming from your higher self. It says it's time for you to know it. They're there all the time. We're just not aware of it. Now, there are tools and there are techniques that I teach in the Sefer Yetzirah class where you learn a technique to bring that higher self, which is called a magid, to bring that into your conscious level more frequently. Or more, you become more aware of it after you do this type of thing. This tool, and it's very simple. Take a passage from the and repeat it as a repetitive phrase.
So
if you're doing that, then you will have a better connection to your self, which is the Magi. And if you're sufficient, that Sadiq, that higher self, the Magid, will come and utilize your voice box. So you better have a tape recorder.
Wow.
So you frequently will not remember what it says.
Right, I remember in the classes of the Sefer Yetzirah. I want to be more direct. How, like, this Sadiq know that there was, like, Moshe Rabbeinu telling or teaching them at that moment? Is that right? Did he identify himself?
There's no clear answer. First off, when you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that he spoke to God face to face. So when Moses' higher self would come to him, he was aware of it because when he was Moses in the physical world, he was at the level of Bina. And that's what the light, why his face had to be covered. Because when at Mount Sinai the Torah was given, everyone was elevated to Zeraphim. And Moses had grown to Bina. And Moses was being at Bina was a quantum of all of the soul. But when they built the golden calf, people fell. They went back into Malchut. And they also dragged Moses down to a lower level within Bina than he was before. So when you speak about Moses, it's a very unique situation. But that doesn't mean we all can become Moses. We all can grow to that level. But for the most part, it becomes relative to the souls involved that you're talking about. Now, if you're asking for yourself, how do you know when higher self is working? You know when you're getting wrong. You know when things are working. You know when things are working. You know when your intuition is working. That's why you know your higher self is involved and connected to you on a more clear way than normally. Because he's always connected. She is always connected to you. The question is, how much of it is connected to you? How aware are you? And that's relative to each individual's situation. How much cleansing have they done? I hope I'm being clear.
Yes, it helps. Everything you tell us helps. And of course, the questions, you know, create pictures in my mind. I know when Jasmine asked what she did, I thought, I mean, we sing Shalom Aleichem when we start our Shabbat meal. And I have no doubt that those angels aren't there. And I'm sure she doesn't either. You know, so by the same token, when, I mean, in the middle of the night, if you're studying Zohar, or you're reading the Zohar, or you're whatever, you know, Tikkun HaZot or whatever, to me, I never feel like I'm alone when I'm doing that.
Correct.
I once had a friend who I felt like she was such a spiritual person that even if she sneezed, she said, excuse me, because she felt that Hashem was right there too. And, or whatever, you know, that, I don't know, to me that's kind of the same sort of thing. Maybe not quite at the same level, but the idea that we're never really alone. And even performing the mitzvot, don't we create angels? And when we transgress one, we also create a negative angel.
God forbid that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I will describe
is that
it if I can. Or if I can
as, I'm sorry.
I will describe a personal experience. One, you know how the Shabbat afternoons are such a gift to take a nap. It's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had set my internal clock to wake at a particular time. And as I woke up from a Shabbat nap, I looked up and I saw pale white wings flying away. It wasn't that they were flapping, but, you know, in my mind, I just saw these two pale white wings for an instant. And the thought occurred to me, because of the way that the joy I was feeling as I woke up, the thought occurred to me that Eliyahu had come and spoken to me, that was teaching me. I only had that experience one time, and I've been studying for 25 years. The point is, it happens and we don't know it. It happens and they will give us a taste like that image that I had. It's a taste. And then you lose the taste. And you have to work harder to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just happens once in a lifetime. And people spend the rest of their lives trying to get back to it. But in their next lifetime, they will start at that level. It's all about... You have to ask yourself, why did you want to know these kinds of things? Are you coming from a place of ego? Are you coming from a place to feel higher than somebody else? Or are you coming from a place that I want to know about myself so I can grow more and reveal more light from Hashem? Only you will know the answer to that question. And only you will ask yourself that question. But if you want to have these experiences of knowing, you stop asking. And I'm not saying to you, don't ask the questions. You ask them because, as we've discovered through these classes, the more questions you ask of whatever type, the more you pull the information through me. But it's really a question of what's your purpose? When you first started in a class in Kabbalah, in spirituality, you would ask a question because you wanted to know. And then you reached a point where you started to think, if I ask that question, why do I want to know that question? If I ask this question, am I doing this to help other people? Or am I doing this because I want to know? And eventually you go higher and higher within that same consciousness, the same idea. Oh, I'm not going to ask that question now because it's not going to help other people. It's a question that relates to me alone. So I'll go to the teacher, I'll go to to Hanoch with a private phone call. I'm describing what I know you have all been through, but many times have forgotten that you were doing it. And that's all part of this general and particular. It's all part of understanding. Are you in the general? Does it mean that you're on a higher level than someone who's in the particular? The answer is no. They both are there. They both serve a purpose.
Hello.
So that's the end of the section. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. We just had a lot of static.
I got disconnected.
Yeah, we did. Well, welcome back. So I guess you'll have to listen to the recording to listen to what I said, because I don't know.
Well, it's very good, so be sure you listen to it.
Okay. What was the verse number in the Idra Rabba?
Oh, 49. And it was Pasuk 332 and 333.
Okay. Put my belly full again.
Okay. You can find the Idra Rabba in the sense that we found the Vayera. It's further down, and it's just before you go into the Book of Leviticus.
My belly full again. Mm-hmm.
Say again, Martha.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't asking a question.
Okay. So we can find the Idra Rabba in the same place in the Zohar.com. If you scroll down in the where it's giving you the parasha, you'll see the words Idra Rabba just before the Book of Leviticus, Vayikra. And then there is a section 49 titled General and Particular, Particular and General. And as Chana said earlier, it's not as large, not as many pesukim. And it starts with verse 332, as she said. But we're out of time, so it's probably better that we do this. It's only two verses. If you want to do it tonight, we can do these two right now. And then we'll be able to move on and back to it. We're going to run a little bit long, probably another 15, 20 minutes. So as long as that's okay with everybody, I'm willing to do it.
It's okay with me. But it's okay if we don't. So let's leave it up to the others.
Okay. Does anybody have a reason not to stay connected right now?
It's okay for me.
Okay. Malta?
I'm on board. Thank you. Thank yes. You. Fine with me.
Thanks. Okay. So I'm going to read the Aramaic for the sex for verse 332. Tutana bits ni uta de si fra bi adam it kali lau ki trin ilain bi flau bi frat u adam it kali lu ki trin tatain bi frat the u flau ki trin ilain Be klau kima de itmar, the di de call. Ane di uch din, be frat be etzba an, da di din. Chamesh keneged chamesh, ki trin tata in be etzba in. Tirad lin deinun perat. Uklau. Excuse me. Deinun perat uklau dehaf ufa. Light chaze behadaihu, di nun levar begufa, ukich lad hawo, the gufa adiu, minehu. We have learned in the hidden book that in man were included the uppermost sephirot, from the chest upwards. In general and in particular, and in man were included the lower sephirot, that is, from the chest downwards, in particular and in general. And he explains, the uppermost sephirot are in general, as we have learned, within the image of all the images, that is, the form of man. In particular, that is the fingers of the hand, which are five, corresponding to five. The lowest sephirot in the toes of the feet are particular and general, since the body, that is Tiferet, is not seen by them, since they are outside the torso. That is why they are not part of the body, since the body was removed from them. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I had two visual images. One was the tetragrammaton in the form of the vertical form, and the other was our Tikkun HaNefesh chart that we use at third meal and at other times too. I mean, we're seeing the sephirot there with the chest upward with the three and below the seven lower. So.
Well, the question is why the upper body, the chest from the chest upwards, why is that described as general and particular? Whereas the lower body is described as particular and general. Why are the terms being reversed?
Because of the difference between the upper three, Keter, which is being concealed, and the seven below being revealed.
That's true. what's the true difference between general and particular? Particular is an indication of more separation. You go from a body to a cell, from a cell to a molecule, from a molecule to an atom, from a chromosome to a gene. These are greater separations. And in the lower part of the body, meaning the lower sephirot, there's greater separation. But in the upper part of the body, in the head, we think in terms of thoughts that are more broad. They're more inclusive. But at the same time, while they're inclusive, all of those different details that I mentioned earlier today about, we have to remember all of these different details because they have impact the general discussion, this general thought. But they also, the particular is there. So when we have a thought, yes, it's a general thought, but then there's a whole process of separation that brings it all into fruition. So we go from the general to the particular. But in returning light, we're going from the particular to the general. Mm-hmm. One is direct light, one is returning light. And when it talks about the upper body and the lower body, we have to understand that both the general and the particular are there. But one is going up and one is going down. And that's what this verse hints at, among other things. I mean, there's a lot of other things involved here, too.
When they're mentioning the five, they're hinting at hey, the letter hey.
Yes. They're mentioning the five fingers of each hand.
Mm-hmm.
You have five opposite five. You have a left hand and a right hand. You have a left foot and a left foot that has five toes. Do you think one is particular and one is general?
Probably.
If you accept one is particular and one is general, then what are they saying? They're saying that Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeran, Chesed, and Gevurah are general. And Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut are particular. Remember, everything is relative to everything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So another way, and there's 70 understandings of every verse, every pasuk. So these are additional ideas. I think it takes a little bit of the contemplation, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Especially when you see these flashes of pictures that you can't put together like puzzle pieces, you know. You see the fingers and then you see the feet. Then all of a sudden it's the Tetragrammaton, but then again it's also the Sephirot. So, yeah, it does take some real thought to contemplate. Mm-hmm.
Very verse 333. Unless somebody has a question, they want to stay on 332, that's fine. Pasuk 333. I hakimavi andu raglav dayom hahu ela raglav tegufa marechom dedinin lemebad nuhmin deikrun bale raglaim uminchon Tafin umit achadan marehon de dinin diletata bekitrin tatain. He asks, if so, what is the meaning of, and his feet shall stand in that day? It seems that they are not outside of the body that is there unpin, since it is ascribed to him. He answers, it is the legs of the body, meaning the masters of judgment, with which to do revenge on the wicked. They are referred to as those who have legs, since from them are the harsh judgments. The masters of judgment from below are attached in the lower sephirot, that are called legs. And about this is written, and his feet, literally his legs, shall stand. Questions, comments, thoughts. Do you remember when I do the Tikkun HaNefesh? I tell you that when we get to the legs, it's from the diaphragm down to the knee.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's being discussed here.
So my picture of seeing the Tikkun HaNefesh chart was a legitimate thought. I guess that's a way.
All of those images that you receive, Hannah, you may not be able to put the pieces together, but they may stand on their own. You may not have to put them together. They may be just giving you information that you couldn't receive any other way.
Mm-hmm.
In your discussion, you receive things visually. Other people learn in a different manner.
Right. This phrase, masters of judgment. Can you give us a little information there?
I'm looking for where the phrase is. Okay, it is the legs of the body, meaning the masters of judgment with which to do revenge on the wicked. What are the legs? In the Sephirot, what are the legs?
Netzach and Hod.
Netzach and Hod. Right. Where does prophecy come from?
Netzach and Hod.
Netzach and Hod.
Mm-hmm.
If prophecy comes from Netzach and Hod of Atzilut, judgment comes from Netzach and Hod of Asiya, the actions.
Okay.
That's really what it's describing the difference of, is that helps you.
Mm-hmm. Right, it does. It really does.
You always have to remember what frame of reference are you talking about? Which world are you? Is this referring to? And here you have, and many times in the Zohar, it mixes the worlds. Because that's how it's concealed from the people who haven't grown high enough to understand what goes on. So you'll see the same term, but it's talking about different things, different worlds. And you have to be connected on a level where you can perceive that. And always remember, talk about, define your frame of reference. Any other questions? I'm reminding you that there is a class, a special class tonight, that's at midnight West Coast time. So that's 2 p.m. Central time. And hopefully there will be enough people who will join us. And I bid you all a good week and Shavua Tov.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom to all. Thank you.
Shalom.